the fourth verse, David is being single-minded here. He's focusing his attention and all on one area, one thing. And so he says it. One thing have I desired of the Lord. Now, we know he desired many more things, and just like you and I desire many more things, but sometimes we just need to get focused. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell, everybody say dwell, in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Praise God. He recognized there wasn't going to be a dull experience. There wasn't going to be something that would be unsatisfying, dissatisfying. He recognized, I'm going to behold the beauty of the Lord. I'm going to inquire in his temple. I'm going to learn. I'm going to obtain. I'm going to receive. Praise God. And that's why he said one thing. Have I desired of the Lord? Praise God. He's going to seek after it. I want to dwell. So I want to share with you today about dwelling. Dwelling. Praise God. You may be seated. Now, the house of the Lord is what we see emphasized from the book of Exodus on through the Gospels and even into the epistles, the house of the Lord, beginning with the tabernacle. The Israelites have come out of Egypt, and in Egypt they were the laborers to construct these magnificent structures. These huge examples of amazing ingenuity and architecture that the Egyptian civilization still is known for. Pretty incredible. And this is what they'd seen. This is how they recognized the worship of the Egyptians. And so when the Lord told them to build a tabernacle, they may have thought, That's not grand enough. That's not great enough. That doesn't compare to the temples and the pyramids and the sphinxes and so on of the land we just came out of. But the Lord had a purpose in making sure that was temporary in terms of its being able to be set up and taken down and moved. So the tabernacle was the plan that God had for them. And praise God, they willingly gave then to this effort, to this project. In fact, the Bible says they gave more than enough. Wow. To the point, Exodus 36 and 5, more than enough, verse 6, they were restrained from giving. Moses and Aaron had to say, wait, that's enough. Don't bring any more. We have adequate. We have sufficient. You've done a great job. Thank you for giving. That's amazing, isn't it? Praise God. But probably what gave them a greater impetus, what gave them a greater incentive was the reason for the tabernacle, that they recognized the God who brought them out of Egypt, the God who gave them deliverance, the God who worked the 10 plagues upon the mightiest ruler in the world at that time, the greatest civilization up to that point, the God who brought them out was who said, I'm going to dwell there. And that probably was why they gave so willingly. They gave with a willing heart. They gave with a wise heart, to be able to work on the structure of the tabernacle. And they gave an amount sufficient and even too much. Those are the phrases from the Word of God. Willing-hearted, wise-hearted, too much that they gave for the tabernacle because they recognized what God said. I will dwell with them. I will dwell among them. Praise God. And thank the Lord that they would have that desire and understanding to be able to construct that tabernacle, which, of course, was temporary. It was a tent. It was something that could be set up readily and taken down quickly, because when the cloud was moving on, when the pillar of fire was moving on, they had to move with it. They didn't want to be left behind. They wanted the presence of God in their lives. Amen. That tabernacle existed for quite a while. And David, recognizing, I dwell in a house of cedars, but the house of God is a tent. It's skins. And he wanted to build the temple, but the Lord said, no, your son is going to. But David then devoted himself to the task of accumulating all the materials. 1 Chronicles 28:2, he made ready for the building. 1 Chronicles 29:2, he gave this testimony. I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God. Amen. He wasn't just going to say, oh, okay, oh, well, I recognize that. Okay, it's all right for Solomon. But no, he made ready. He made sure the next generation can serve God as they are directed by the Lord. Thank God that all generations are the scope of God's truth and the scope of God's desire to bring all generations into the plan of God and the work of the Lord. Amen. Psalm 90:1, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Praise God. In the Psalm 100 that we recognize being so beautiful and so wonderful in terms of serving the Lord with gladness, coming before his presence with singing, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. I'm glad the last verse of Psalm 100 said, his truth endureth to all generations. Praise God. Let every generation worship. Let every generation exalt the Lord. Let every generation understand how good it is to serve the Lord and to serve him with gladness. Not drudgery. Not something that is so ho-hum, like the man who would say, I went to church for 30 years and I can't even remember one message. Oh, thank God we can remember the word of the Lord. We can remember his power, his goodness, his blessing. Hallelujah. And every generation can know the dwelling place of the Lord. Now, Solomon would spend 7 years in building that temple. Remember, he asked God for wisdom. He asked God for an understanding heart. He said, I'm so young. I don't know how to lead your people. I don't know how to be the leader, the director that I need to be. God was pleased with his request. When he heard Solomon ask for wisdom and an understanding heart, he gave him exactly what he desired. And because he didn't ask for riches, he didn't ask for fame, he didn't ask for long life, he didn't ask for honor, God gave him those as well. That's the God we serve. Amen. He wants to bless you with more than you even ask for. He wants to bless you for more than you can even imagine. He wants to bless you with abundance. Thank God. No wonder we can give thanks to him. Praise God. And Solomon would agree to walk in God's ways and to keep his commandments and to walk in his statutes. Praise God. And the wisdom that God gave him must have included this ability for this construction project, because it wasn't something small. It wasn't something that was perhaps in a miniature plan. No, God gave him the wisdom to be able to do the project that had fallen into his hands. David gave him the pattern for construction. David gave him the right instructions, the floor plan of the tabernacle, the furniture of the tabernacle was now going to be in place in a much grander scale, a much larger edifice that they could have. And the tons of accumulated timber, can you imagine, Brother Rick, this the building supply that he had there? Tons of accumulated timber and stone and brass and gold and silver and the workforce that would be put in place to be able to construct this magnificent temple, the thousands of workers that were involved. And it was God that he acknowledged. Amen. 1 Kings 8:27. He asked himself the question, will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain him. How much less this house that I have built. And he understood how great God is. Amen. And he reminded the people of Israel, I like this, in verse 56 of 1 Kings 8, there hath not failed one word of all his good promise. Not one word has failed. Again, that's the God we serve. Praise God. Amen. He doesn't let his words fall to the ground. He doesn't let his word just, just kind of fade out in history. No, his word is powerful and able to do the work that we desire today as we call upon him. Amen. I wish I could share with you. I wish I could report that Solomon shared and continued the devotion of his father David concerning the house of God. But Solomon didn't stop building. He kept building. And he built high places for the gods of his wives. He built temples for the gods of his wives, including Ashtaroth and Milcom, who in the worship there was licentious. It was carnal. He built high places for Chemosh and Molech, where child sacrifice was involved. How did he get so far off? How did he get so removed from what was glorious and what was powerful, and fire came down and consumed the sacrifice, and smoke and the glory of God filled the temple so that even the priests could not enter in to do their duties and their service? He saw all of that, but yet he built temples for these other deities, these other idols, and saw what was going on. Oh my, how easy flesh can be removed from the desire that was there. That's why it's so important, like David. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. Everything else can go by the wayside. Everything else can be pushed away. And it doesn't have priority. It doesn't have first place. But I want to dwell in the house of the Lord. I want to inquire of his temple. I want to behold his beauties. Praise God. Because that's what's eternal. Everything else is going to be gone. Everything else is going to burn. Everything else is going to melt with a fervent heat. Praise God. And oh, David would declare, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Amen. He recognized God's benefit, God's blessing, God's provision for him right here, right now. All of the wonders, my cup runs over. He leads me beside still waters. He leads me beside green pastures. And all of these blessings that he's provided, he's anointed me with oil. All of these blessings, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There again, that power and that blessing that he would emphasize and desire. Amen. All the days of my life, he said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. The beauty of the Lord I'll behold. In his temple, I'll inquire, and I'll get the answers. Praise God. I like the way another translation renders it. It says, I'll gaze at the splendor of the Lord, and I'll contemplate in his temple. Praise God. Because there's much to be able to consider and meditate on in the things of God. But now consider God's dwelling. Solomon rightly recognized, Lord, You're in heaven. The heaven of heavens cannot contain you. And how much less this little house that I've built for you, and all of its splendor, all of its glory. He recognized that that can't contain God, God's dwelling. Exodus, rather, 25:8, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. That was his plan. That was his desire. Exodus 29:46, they shall know that I am the Lord their God that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. So, again, we emphasize that's the reason that the tabernacle was so important to the people of Israel. That's why the tribes camped around that tabernacle. It wasn't off to the side somewhere. It wasn't just removed as a begotten bystand. No, it was the center of their existence. The pillar of fire, the pillar of cloud was right there, and they recognized this is the presence of God. That's why it was so important, so primary to them. But oh, I remind you, he is far greater than that. Isaiah 57:15, what a tremendous promise and what a great revelation of how great our God is. Isaiah 57:15, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. That's where he is. He's in eternity. There's no beginning, there's no end. And there are philosophers who scratch their head bare trying to comprehend this aspect of God. Where did God come from? How was their beginning? What was before God? No, God says, I inhabit eternity. I'm there. My name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. Praise God. The Lord is establishing the fact he is far above anything and everyone. No one can comprehend him. No one can understand him completely. But yet he invites us into his presence. He invites us into a relationship with him. Praise God. Come and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, he declares. Oh, I'm thankful that we can find rest for our souls and peace and comfort in his presence. Hallelujah. Amen. And then the rest of the verse goes on, and this is why I love Isaiah 57:15. With him, I dwell in this place. It's high and lofty. It's eternity. It's timeless. That's where I live, God says. But I also invite him who is contrite and humble. I'm going to dwell with him. I'm going to invite him into my presence. Amen. She who is understanding can't make it on her own. She's got to have the power of God. She's got to have the love of God. I'm inviting her into my presence, he says, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Praise God. Now, it's real plain and simple to understand. We can't act high and lofty simply because we've been in the presence of God. No, that being humble and contrite, that understanding, I need him. I'm incomplete without him. I don't have all that I need without him. I've got to have him. Praise God. And maybe those disciples who heard John the Baptist and saw him point them out, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Maybe they were trying to understand what was going on here and how perhaps the fulfillment of God's plan in concerning the Messiah was now beginning to unfold right before their eyes. It was their generation that was going to benefit from all of the promises, all of the prophecies of the Word of God. And they behold Jesus. And they ask him, where dwellest thou? Where dwellest thou? No doubt, thinking of the physical. A little house, a little home, some little spot in the city somewhere. Where dwellest thou? Jesus simply replied, come and see. Amen. They followed him. They remained with him. The Bible says it's about the 10th hour or about 4 p.m. And so they continued on with him, praise God. And they reached out to others. Andrew got his brother Simon Peter. Philip got Nathanael. Remember, it was Nathanael who said, what? He's from Nazareth? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Oh, my. What good things he was going to have unfold before him. What powerful things he was going to be able to see. Amen. And the Lord promising them, thou shalt see greater things. Praise God. Oh, yes. Because they were going to witness the outpouring of the Spirit. They were going to understand how great it is to witness of his power. They were going to become the dwelling place of the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. But let's get back to that question. Where dwellest thou? Let me ask you, where are you living? Where do you prefer to be? I'm not talking about your house, whether it be a mansion or an apartment or whatever it might be. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where do you prefer to stay? We talk about being down in the dumps, a rain cloud hovering over you. Or we talk about being on the mountaintop. David talked about being in the valley where there's pastures, where there's, the streams. Praise God. Sister French talked about the cold, flowing waters. Amen. Where do you like to be? Moreover, what dwells in you? And what are you dwelling on? So many people dwell on hurts and offenses, and rehearse them over and over in their minds. Some people dwell on fear and dwell on failure. And the devil is sure to remind them all of those things so that they have a difficult time escaping, dwelling on that. Some people dwell on despondency and despair and have a pity party of one, poor me. Some people want to dwell in depression. Is that what God has in store? Is that where God wants you to be? Oh, no. His divine touch. Praise God. His divine touch. You know, you think about those people who were healed, those lepers who were delivered, the blind who came seeing. Do you think their lot in life was improved? Do you think where they lived was changed? Do you think that they were able to step up? Praise God, an emotional level and a spiritual level, and understand God and his power has been displayed in my life. He took time for me. He provided for me. Praise God. And oh, the blessings of the Lord that came to them. Thank the Lord. We can truly give thanks at Thanksgiving. Thanks for the riches of his grace. Thanks for his everlasting mercy. Thanks for his joy unspeakable. Thanks for the word of God. Thanks for the peace of God. Thanks for the comfort that he gives. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, thank God for his blessings. Amen. And concerning the word of God, Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The word of God dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Oh, thank God. There's so much that God has given. A new song, praise God, that we can lift him up and praise him. Amen. In sports, there's teams that they call cellar dwellers because they've lost so many games. Yeah. They fire the poor coach. He's not the one on the field. He's not the one on the floor. But they fire him because it's his fault. Anyway, there's cellar dwellers. Well, not in the spirit. Not in the spirit. Mount up with wings as eagles. Praise God. Run and not be weary. Walk and not faint. Praise God. Keep going with God. Keep moving on with the Lord. Keep finding more and more of what God has available for you. Praise God. Thank the Lord. A dwelling place of God. Amen. Now, Paul, before he became Paul the Apostle, he was known as Saul of Tarsus. And Saul of Tarsus would have a strong tradition concerning the temple. He'd be very zealous about that temple. He'd be very vigilant about how it'd be cared for, prepared, and so on. He would be devoted to the temple. But when he became the temple, when the Spirit of God came within him, as God directed, as God said many, many times in the Word of the Lord, reading Ezekiel, sometimes reading Ezekiel in the bread program, you can hardly wait to get to the end of it. Oh, God, help me to get through Ezekiel. But I like to underline where it says, I'll pour out my Spirit. It's not just in Joel. It's not just in Joel. The Lord says it several times. I'll pour out my Spirit. I'll give you a new heart. I'll give you a new spirit. Praise God. I get my pen out and I start underlining. Amen. Oh, where else in Ezekiel does it say that? Praise God, because it says it several times. Oh, yes, Saul of Tarsus becoming Paul the Apostle would understand now the fulfillment of all of those things that he had studied in the Old Testament record, how God was going to give a new heart, how God was going to pour out his Spirit, how God is going to provide in a powerful way. Amen. Know ye not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank the Lord for his power. And he would write to the Corinthians. That's 1 Corinthians 3:16. 1 Corinthians 6:19. He's trying to get them to understand, step away from that carnality. Step away from what doesn't satisfy. Step away from what is going to bring you down and move into the power and the blessing of the Lord. And so he makes the exclamation, what? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? You belong to the King. You belong to the God of the universe. You belong to the one who inhabits eternity. You belong to the one who is high and lofty. Ah, yes, and he calls you up into his presence. He'll revive the spirit of the humble. He'll revive the spirit of the contrite ones. Oh, yes, thank God. You don't have to live in that realm. You can be the dwelling place of the Almighty God, the one who spoke everything into existence, the one who upholds all things. By the word of his power, he dwells in you. Glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. And all the mockers and the scoffers would say, you're just mumbling things. You're just speaking gibberish. And or else they'll misinterpret 1 Corinthians 14. Thank God they're reading the Bible at least, but they need to understand what they're reading. And get to the end of the chapter where Paul says, forbid not to speak in tongues. Praise God. In the beginning of the chapter where he says, someone talking in tongues is talking to God. He's not talking to men. Someone talking in tongues is edifying himself. He's increasing strength, increasing power, increasing blessing. Go ahead and talk in tongues. But no, they want to say, no, you can't talk in tongues unless there's an interpreter. Need to understand what the Word of God says. Need to fulfill it and apply it the way it's supposed to be. Praise God. And we're talking about dwelling. We're talking about the Spirit of God dwelling in you. Not just a visit. Not just a once in a while. Not just something that might happen if you wish, if you hope, if you work. No, no. God dwelling. Praise God. Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Oh, that kind of power. That kind of blessing. Amen. That a body that was dead and still for 3 days comes forth out of the grave. The stone could not hold him. The seal could not hold him. The soldiers could not hold him. Praise God. The Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Dwell. He that raised up Christ. Don't forget it. He raised up Christ. Don't forget it. There's resurrection power. There's power to change death. There's power to change, amen, everything that the devil would throw against you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. The emphasis on resurrection twice. The emphasis on dwelling twice. The emphasis altogether is the Spirit of God in you, making you alive, providing power for you. Praise God. No wonder we can give Him thanks. No wonder we can exalt His name. Hallelujah. And then Paul continues with his references. 2 Corinthians 6:16. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. Don't make Solomon's mistakes. Don't go with that compromise, that affinity, that idea that it's okay to build the temple of God and then go ahead and build all these other things as well. No, there's no agreement there. For you are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Praise God. Amen. Now, Leviticus 26 and 12 may be what he was referencing here. The Lord said, I will walk among you and will be your God, and you shall be my people. Praise God. I'm going to dwell with you. I'm going to be with you. Praise God. They became the temple of the living God. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. Amen. That was the initial infilling in Acts 2 and 4. And we have a record of a refilling in Acts 4 and 31. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost in that prayer meeting. Praise God. In Acts 13 and 52, another record of being filled again. The disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I know it wasn't just those few instances. I know they kept receiving it over and over, just like you and I can be renewed again and again in the power of the Holy Ghost and the blessing of God coming in our lives. Thank God that we can have that filling. Amen. You get up from that Thanksgiving table. In some cultures, it's okay to belch to show your satisfaction. Don't do that. We're not in that culture. But you'll be full. You'll pat your tummy. You'll go and find a place to sit down. And you'll relax and feel so good. But thank God for leftovers. Because the next day, you'll be hungry again. Maybe even at midnight. Our tradition at midnight is to have a sandwich with a roll and some turkey and pepper and mayo. Yeah. It tastes so good. Let the Lord fill you again and again. Let the Lord satisfy you again and again. Don't let it be a one-time thing that happened a long time ago, however length, whatever interval that might be. Praise God. Thank the Lord we can receive it again and again. Be filled again and again. Rejoice in His presence again and again. Letting Him dwell in you. The Bible says, don't quench the Spirit. Don't grieve the Spirit. Amen. Make sure the Spirit of God's dwelling in you. Stand with me now, please. Thank God for His dwelling. His dwelling. Amen. And I trust that you're grabbing hold of David's desire, David's single purpose. He, one thing have I desired of the Lord. Amen. There's another one who wrote, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. I'd rather do that. Praise God. And I know the devil loves to open a parking space Make a parking space available for you to park right there among hurts. Park right there among memories of failure. And park right there by fear. And just let that rule your life. And no. You move ahead with the blessings of God. You move on with the hand of the Lord. You let the Lord dwell in you. Praise God. Praise God. Come and stand together here, please. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus.